Good morning. We will be following the order of services printed in our bulletin. Welcome to Zion Lutheran Church this morning for our divine service. We have a beautiful day outside with all that sun after yesterday, and it's clouds and it's cold and everything like that. It's a great day to praise the Lord. Let's begin by singing God of Grace and God of Glory.
Greetings in our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We welcome you to this Sunday, November 13th, 2022 worship service at Zion Lutheran Church, Lincoln, Illinois. Participating in the production of this broadcast are Ron Estel, Janet Estel, and Casey Jones. Our organist is Dora Thompson. The opening hymn is 850, God of Grace and God of Glory. Hymn number 850, found in the Lutheran Service Book. Marlon Rose is sponsoring the flowers on the altar for the glory of God and loving memory of Kathy Rose and their 62nd wedding anniversary. Darius and Emma Kinnar are sponsoring the flowers on the stand to the glory of God and thanksgiving for all of His blessings, and in celebration of Pam Featon's 65th birthday on November 11th. Daryl and April Romox are sponsoring the radio broadcast for the glory of God in honor of their 25th wedding.
Let us rise. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord.
Amen.
I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And you forgave the iniquity of my sin.
O Almighty God, merciful Father, I upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in his stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have worked salvation for him. He has remembered his steadfast love and faithfulness to the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Sing praises to the Lord with the lyre and the sound of melody. Let the sea roar and all that fills it, the world and all those who dwell in it.
Let the rivers clap their hands, let the hills sing for joy together.
Before the Lord, for he comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world with righteousness and the peoples with equity. To God on high. Be with you. Let us pray. O Lord, almighty and ever-living God, you have given exceedingly great and precious promises to those who trust in you. Rule and govern our hearts and minds by your Holy Spirit, that we may live and abide forever in your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Please be seated. The Old Testament reading for this, the 23rd Sunday after Pentecost, is from the book of the prophet Malachi, the 4th chapter, beginning at the 1st verse. For behold, the day is coming, burning like an oven, when all the arrogant and all evildoers will be stubble. The day that is coming shall set them ablaze, says the Lord of hosts, so that it will leave them neither root nor branch. But for you who fear my name, the Sun of Righteousness shall arise with healing in its wings. You shall go out leaping like calves from the stall. You shall tread down the wicked, for they will be ashes under the soles of your feet on the day when I act, says the Lord of hosts. Remember the law of my servant Moses, the statutes and just decrees that I commanded him at Horeb for all Israel. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the great and awesome day of the Lord comes. And he will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the land with a decree of utter destruction. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The catechetical review in regards to the table of duties. What does the table of duties say to children? Children. That it may go well with you, and that you may enjoy all life. The epistle reading from 2 Thessalonians, the third chapter, beginning at the first verse. Finally, brothers, pray for us that the word of the Lord may speed ahead and be honored, as happened among you, and that we may be delivered from wicked and evil men. For not all have faith. But the Lord is faithful. He will establish you and guard you against the evil one. And we have confidence in the Lord about you, that you are doing and will do the things that we command. May the Lord direct your hearts to the love of God and the steadfastness of Christ. Now we command you, brothers, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you keep away from any brother who is walking in idleness and not in accord with the tradition that you received from us. For you yourselves know how you ought to imitate us, because we were not idle when we were with you, nor did we eat anyone's bread without paying for it, but with toil and labor we worked night and day, that we might not be a burden to any of you. It was not because we do not have that right, but to give you in ourselves an example to imitate. For even when we were with you, we would give you this command: if anyone is not willing to work, let him not eat. For we hear that some among you walk in idleness, not busy at work, but busy bodies. Now such persons we command and encourage in the Lord Jesus Christ to do their work quietly and to earn their own living. As for you, brothers, do not weary in doing good. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to
God. We rise for the singing of the Alleluia. Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 21st chapter. While some were speaking of the temple, how it was adorned with noble stones and offerings, Jesus said, "As for these things that you see, the days will come when there will not be left here one stone upon another that will not be thrown down." And they asked him, "Teacher, when will these things be, and what will be the sign when these things are about to take place?" And he said, "See that you are not led astray, for many will come in my name, saying, 'I am he,' and 'the time is at hand.' Do not go after them. And when you hear of wars and tumults of wars, do not be terrified, for these things must first take place. But the end will not be at once." Then he said to them, "Nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be great earthquakes and in various places famines and pestilences, and there will be terrors and great signs from heaven. But before all this, they will lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and prisons, and you will be brought before kings and governors for my name's sake. This will be your opportunity to bear witness. Settle it therefore in your minds not to meditate beforehand on how to answer, for I will give you a mouth and wisdom which none of your adversaries will be able to withstand or contradict. You will be delivered up even by parents and brothers and relatives and friends, and some of you they will put to death. You will be hated by all for my name's sake, but not a hair of your head will perish. By your endurance you will gain your lives. But when you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, then know that its desolation has come near. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains, and let those who are inside the city depart, and let not those who are out in the country enter it. For these are the days of vengeance, to fulfill all that is written. Alas for women who are pregnant, and for those who are nursing infants in those days, for there will be great distress upon the earth and wrath against its people. They will fall by the edge of the sword and be led captive among all nations, and Jerusalem will be trampled underfoot by Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled. And there will be signs in the sun and the moon and the stars, and on the earth distress of nations in perplexity because of the roaring of the sea and of the waves. People fainting with fear and with foreboding of what is coming on the world, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. And then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now when these things begin to take place, straighten up and raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. This is the Gospel of the Lord. Having heard the words of Christ, we confess our common Christian faith through the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord,
who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Please be seated. At this time, if any children would like to come forward for a brief children's message, they are certainly welcome to do so. Good morning, everyone. Okay, let me ask you a quick question. How do you know when your birthday's getting close? Nolan?
A calendar.
All right, you can see it on the calendar. How else do you know when your birthday's getting close? You just know when your birthday is? Okay, so you can tell by things going on in the house, can't you? Yeah, Amelia. Maybe by the season. So if you have a winter birthday, well, when the weather starts getting cold, you know your birthday is getting closer, don't you? Do mom and dad do anything different when your birthday is getting close? Maybe there's a cake being made? Could be. Every family's different. They celebrate them different.
My mom says, "Happy birthday to you."
You're four. All right. We know when our birthdays are getting. Now let me ask you a different, because you know you see things and you know. Somebody, when your birthday month comes, you might hear the words, "Your birthday's this month." They'll tell you, "Your birthday's coming up." And you might go to Grandma and Grandpa's house, and they might say, "I know who has a birthday this month." And you know it's getting closer and closer and closer. But now, what about Christmas? How do you know Christmas is getting closer? Okay, first of all, by the seasons. Absolutely. How else do you know? By the decorations. Where are the decorations at? House store? At the house, so mom and dad might put out Christmas decorations. Piper?
If you want to put some lights up on the Christmas tree, you always
can. Yes, the lights on the Christmas tree goes up, there's lights on them. Yes, things change at church, don't they? Pretty soon we'll be changing colors here at church. The trees will go up. The garland will go up. Nolan?
It can snow outside.
It might very well be snowy. So you know that Christmas is getting closer and closer and closer. And then one day you wake up. And what day is it? It's Christmas Day. And it's a fantastically great and glorious day with food and visiting and church and presents and all kinds of wonderful things. Colton? What? And basketball. That's right. Holiday tournament, here we come. You know it. Well, Jesus talks about the world building up to when he is going to come back. Is that on the calendar any time? Nope, can't look on the calendar, find out when Jesus is coming back. Nope, that's not on there. But he says, well, now there'll be signs, like, at least you said, there's signs that Christmas is coming by the decorations that go up, right? There's a sign that Christmas is getting closer, and TV shows have Christmas themes, and so Jesus says there'll be signs in the world, and we're to be ready for his return. Now, we don't know when he's coming back. He didn't say a day or a time. He tells us no one knows the day or the time or the seasons, that only the Father knows. So God the Father knows when he's going to send his Son back to us to take us into glory. So he said there's going to be wars, and you'll hear people starting wars. There's going to be wildfires and changes in the environment and floods and people having trouble with their crops. That's going to happen. So you've got all these things that we can say. So when we hear them on the TV or we see them in the news or something like that, he says, now don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. That's okay. These things are going to happen. And every time they happen, you know that Jesus is one day closer to coming back to the earth. And that is a day that you and I as Christians, we all look forward to. We look forward to that day when Jesus comes back. Because when he does, he's going to remake our bodies brand new. He's going to remake this world brand new. And all the things that make us sad will be gone. There won't be any more sadness or weakness or anything that makes us cry. It'll all be gone and it'll be perfect and wonderful. So just like we know it's getting close to our birthday, and just like we know it's getting close to Christmas, well, we can look at the world around us and know that it's getting closer and closer and closer to the day that Jesus comes back in all of his glory. And that's the day that you and I and everyone here is looking forward to. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for sending your Son Jesus to live a perfect life for us and die an innocent death on the cross for us. And we know that he is risen from the grave, and that is the greatest sign that his return is soon to come. Lord, help us to prepare and be ready for that day when Jesus comes back, so we may meet him with joy in our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you for your answers this morning. Thank you for coming down. If you go back to your seats, and we will continue with the singing of the next hymn.
The hymn of the day is 645, Built on the Rock. Hymn number 645 in the Lutheran Service Book.
The sermon text this morning from the Gospel of St. Luke, the 21st chapter, the 28th verse. Now when these things take place, straighten up, raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. Thus far the words of our text. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, when I had kind of started this, and in my head, I could hear an old-time radio broadcast knocking down and ticking off all the world events and world activities. And it kind of slid into something more like a picture of a spreadsheet of misery that is all over the world throughout world history. Jesus says, you know, don't be terrified. Don't be terrified. Are we terrified? Are we thinking about these things? I'm not 100% sure. They come and go in our heads. I think it's a bit like that frog in boiling water analogy that you have there. As you know, you're in the water, how that analogy goes. Or you can't see the forest for the trees or the trees for the forest or whichever one you tend to say or anything like that. Well, the fact of the matter is, and the point is, that we're elbow deep in the last days. And if we think about it, the judgment of God is at hand. Now, I'm not too sure that we're all that terribly different from the people in the world who have existed before us and all the times that have come before us in world history. You got the Tamerlanes, the Genghis Khans, the Alexanders, the Caesars. There's always been famine. There's always been disease. There's always been starvation. Contemporary humanity, though, seems to be off to devastation on a grand scale. It's a spreadsheet of misery, as I said. So I was thinking, okay, first column, how about war? Just from when you were in school, and not even the deep dive into history. Just from the memory of your school classes, the 30 Years' War, the Napoleonic Wars, you know, France versus everybody else, the age of colonialism. There's the devastation of the American Civil War, and then there's every other civil war ever on the face of the earth. And that civil war in world history was followed by the war to end all wars with its millions dead. And if that wasn't enough, the nations of Europe and Asia did it all again a generation later for a second time. And with that one, a second one, the most prolific killing machines ever unleashed upon the earth were let go, with boats stalking the seas and the oceans, armies marching across continents, bombs falling from the sky and incinerating cities like Dresden and Tokyo. Then to end it all was Oppenheimer's deadly invention, and with that came the atomic age, with nations pointing missiles at each other with enough firepower to consume the entire planet in a nuclear holocaust. Now, each of these wars did not happen in a vacuum. They also occurred with great civil unrest. There was the French Revolution with its nearly 300,000 people imprisoned for not towing political orthodoxy of the revolutionaries, 17,000 executed, 10,000 died in prison. There's the rise of the industrial age with the horrors of early factories and labor being treated as expendable and natural resources being consumed as if they'd never run out. So what happens? The laborers push back. There's the rise of labor unions. There's strikes and strike breakers. And each and every step of human development seems to be accompanied by crime and crimes against humanity. We have the communist regimes of Lenin and Stalin and Mao and Pol Pot and Castro, none of whom appeared just out of nowhere, but they came in response to oppressive regimes that preceded them. They rose from oppression and turned into their own forms of tyranny upon humankind. And then the next column on my little spreadsheet of misery was that of natural disasters, things that happen in nature and to people, like the Black Plague. There's syphilis epidemics, there's smallpox, tuberculosis, the Spanish flu, polio, and all those diseases were accompanied by things like the Dust Bowl, the drought in East Africa, famine in Eastern Europe, China, Cambodia. And where do we find ourselves today in the world's recent history? We find ourselves within the last 5 years of 101 named tropical storms, wildfires devastating the western regions of our country, water levels in the Mississippi River falling. The same is true for the rivers in Egypt and the continental Europe and England. All their rivers are suffering from lack of moisture and drought. Here, there is societal distrust of institutional authorities, pointed out by the lack of respect for law enforcement or our laws and the legal system, none of which has stopped the shameless pandering of politicians, all leading to a moral degeneration where states keep voting to legalize all stripes of drugs and all kinds of things like that, while other states can't pass legislation to keep babies alive who've been born from a botched abortion. And we all as a culture have a maddening rush to embrace the murder of preborn children as a right, an inalienable right enshrined in our laws. How sad is that, that we value human life so little? All of these things can be summed up in the phrase, man's own inhumanity to man. All of these things should justly and rightly earn the inhabitants of this earth the wrath of God being poured out upon it. Indeed, for such gross and wanton sin, the wrath of God will be poured out on the world as each believer, unbeliever, and mocker of Christ will be punished in eternal fire. All of this might make us want to hide. It might make us want to run away or curl up in a ball and hope the world slides into oblivion without us. But what are Jesus' words to us this morning? Christ Jesus, the Son of God, the world's Savior, has said this: now when you see these things take place, straighten up. Raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. The natural order of the world will crumble. The natural order of the world will fall apart. The heavens will be shaken to the point where humanity will be dumbstruck about all of it. And the chaos will be incredible. But what about us? What happens to us when we see all of these things going on? Well, the word of Jesus is very clear. Stand up. Put your shoulders back. Lift your head up. Scan the skies. Look to the heavens. Why should we do these things? We do these things because we are the keepers of Christ's words. We are the hearers of Christ's words. Why this reaction from us? Because we know that these cataclysms that are striking the world point to the second coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And when He returns, He will be accompanied with the full realization of our faith. Yes, the resurrection of Jesus from the dead is the sign that the end of the world has come upon us. So we know from the time of the resurrection has been the last days. The time of the resurrection to whenever Jesus returns, those are the last days. And that we have, as St. Paul says, been buried with Him in a death like His, we shall certainly be united with Him in a resurrection like His. Here for us today are Jesus' pastoral comments concerning the end of the world. When everything seems to be going awry, when the world seems to be falling apart and all things seem against you, when nations are in uproar and nature is falling apart at the seams and everything is going wrong, don't hide. Don't hide. The end of the world is not a reason for us to fear, but instead it is a reason to look up and to pay attention, because eternal life for we believers in Jesus Christ is about to begin. What we have waited for all of our lives is about to happen. Because what is all of this pointing to? It's all pointing to our eternal life in Jesus Christ. It's why you bring your children to the waters of holy baptism. Because you have come to believe that the world is broken, that the world is in rebellion against its Creator, that you also trust your Creator's words that He will punish the defiant and the rebellious. But you are equally convinced of the Father's mercy, the mercy that He gives to the repentant And that mercy is given first in baptism, a baptism that makes you a member of the King's family and gives you forgiveness and a life that comes with the promise that this new life will be fully revealed in you when Jesus returns in all of His glory. And that the rest of your lives, the lives of your waiting, are lived in repentance and faith, confession and absolution, receiving the sacrament of the altar and rising from the altar and returning to your lives to serve your Lord in the places that He has placed you, and to wait. And to wait, because we have the good news that Jesus Christ is going to return. And when He returns, He will carry us to glory, and what we are in God's eyes will be fully made known. So let's take some moments here today and remember that when someone is having a conversation about the world going to you-know-where in a handbasket, let your response be that, yeah, it is. It is, and it's not unexpected. And let people know that, yes, the last days are drawing near, and it is time to repent of sin and return to Christ for forgiveness. So, friends in Christ, do not be afraid of that which can harm the body and not the soul. And when you see the evidence that the last days are upon us, do not hide, but rather be confident of your Lord's return. For the day of your redemption is nearer than when you first believed. Amen. And now may that peace which passes all understanding be in your hearts and minds through the one true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Let us all now rise for the singing of the offertory.
You have been sharing in the morning worship at Zion Lutheran Church, 205 Pulaski Street in Lincoln, Illinois, where you've just heard Reverend Mark Thompson deliver the message for this morning. If you cannot be physically present, join us every Sunday morning on the radio at 8 o'clock over WLLM 1370 AM or WLLM 105.3 FM or on Facebook Live or on the internet at www.zlclinc.org. Zion is a member congregation of the Worldwide Fellowship of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. If you are without a church home, we invite you to become a part of the Zion family. If we may assist you in any way, please call us at 732-3946 or write to us at Zion Lutheran Church, 205 Pulaski Street, Lincoln, Illinois, 62656. Zion also offers a premier education with a Christian worldwide view for children from age 3 through the 8th grade at Zion Lutheran School. If you would like more information concerning our school, please contact the school office at 732-3977. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
Let us rise for prayer. Lord Jesus, you have told us that the last days will come upon us in an instant, and yet that there will be events that lead up to it. As we, your people, observe these events, let us not fear them, but see them for what they are, that is, reminders that the last day is near. Grant to us when earthly turmoil is upon us that we live not in fear, but in the sacred expectation of your return in glory and the joy that you will bring to us. Lord, in your mercy. O God, giver of life, as we anticipate the end of days, we still enjoy the good gifts of this present life. Hear our prayers on behalf of all those who have celebrated this week. We thank you for the 20 years of marriage that you have given to Herman and to Sarah Schwantz, and for all the good gifts that you have given to them. Receive also the thanksgivings of Daryl and April Mox, as they have celebrated 25 years of marriage and received your blessings in their life together. Out of your merciful goodness, O God, continue to bless these couples in their married life, even as we pray the same for all marriages between husbands and wives. Accept also, O God, the thanksgiving of Darius and Emma Knauer for the 65th birthday of their daughter Pam. Thank you for the years of life you have given to Pam and the gifts of husband and children and grandchildren. Continue to bless her, O God, so that she may continue to be a blessing to those around her. Lord, in your mercy. We also pray, dear God, for all those who are struggling in this life through the weaknesses of the body and the mind. We ask you to shower your blessings upon those who are recovering from their illnesses. We pray that you would continue to strengthen Joanne Marlin as she recovers from her recent hospitalization. And we also ask your blessings upon Lori Schaub as she is hospitalized now and battling an infection. And we pray for health and healing for her in all her illness and illnesses. And for all those, O God, whom we name in our hearts who are suffering from the weaknesses of our mortal frame, hear our prayers and answer them, yes, according to your will. Lord, in your mercy. God of hosts, we thank you for those in our midst who are veterans of the armed services, and we thank you for the devotion they have given to our nation. Watch over not only our veterans, but also our current service members, that they may be kept from evil enticements or bodily harm, and that they may serve both God and country with courage, honor, and integrity. Lord, in your mercy. Gracious God, we give you thanks and praise for answering the prayers of Linda Loos for her great-granddaughter with a yes. And we also thank you that Noemi Obregon and her mother, Sean, are now safely home from the hospital. Thank you, Lord, for your gifts of doctors and nurses and people who have prayed for this family. Continue to bless Sean and Andy and their daughter with health and great faith in Christ. Lord, in your mercy. Holy Triune God, we thank you for all the support shown to our school at yesterday's dinner and festivities. We have been blessed not only with financial donations, but with the hands of those who help to serve in so many capacities. We pray that as you have commanded us to make disciples, that you, our King, would secure our school among us to the strengthening of the faith and the reaching of the lost. Lord, in your mercy. These and all other petitions we bring before your throne of grace and mercy, praying the prayer your Son taught us to pray. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation,
blessed Lord, you have caused all Holy Scriptures to be written for our learning. Grant that we may so hear them, read, mark, learn, and take them to heart, that by the patience and comfort of your holy word we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and grant thee his peace.
Closing hymn is number 750, If Thou But Trust in God to Guide Thee, hymn number 750 in the Lutheran Service Book.
Please be seated. Mrs. Rage, do you have an update on last night? Do you want a handheld or do you want to project? Okay, come on down front and let us know how the dinner went last night. Thank you, and we're all looking forward to pancake and sausage now. Not till next year. Not till next year. But and I'd like to personally thank all the people who set up tables, got chairs, tore down, swept floors, served food, all of those extra things. Also, the activities at school can't be done with all of the individuals who are pitching in for all of the other things that go on. To make such events like last evening and the pancake and sausage and all of that a possibility. So appreciate all that extra labor and help. Please look at your bulletins and check them out for all the activities going on here at Zion. And may the Lord bless all of you. May He bless your comings in and your goings out from this time forth and forevermore. Amen.